Welcome to the fourth in the series of Cosmetic Course podcasts. My name is Adrian Richards. I'm a plastic and cosmetic surgeon and the director of Cosmetic Courses. In this interview, I'm going to be talking to Ron Myers, who's one of the directors of consultingroom.co.uk. I mean, we're going to be talking about some of the new legislation issues which are coming into the industry. So hello, this is Adrian Richards, and today I'm going to be talking to Ron Myers, who's very well known in the industry and is one of the directors of consultingrooms.co.uk, which is probably the biggest information website for the cosmetic industry in the UK. He's been in the industry for 16 years and was actually involved in the launch of Botox back in 1994, and has a lot of experience of different business models in the aesthetics industry. So hello, Ron.
Good morning, Adrian.
So the first thing I thought we'd just kick off is, if that's okay with you, is I know there's been an awful lot of stuff about recent legislation. So just give us an update on that.
Okay. Well, there are two aspects to, I guess, what's been going on from a legislation point of view. The first one is the Care Quality Commission, and there will be a number of aesthetic businesses that will already be registered with the Care Quality Commission that are deemed to have to re-register again because the guidelines are changing. So if you're currently registered with the CQC for anything to do with cosmetic surgery procedures, and that also includes things like Smart Lipo as well, which is designated as a cosmetic surgery procedure, you will need to re-register again and maintain registration with the Care Quality Commission.
Ron, would it be possible just so, if you're sort of doing Botox and fillers, do you need to register?
No, you don't. No, they're totally exempt still. You've never had to register, and also in this new registration process, you'll still register. But the main difference is those operating Class 3B or Class 4 lasers and intense pulse light systems. Up until now, or since 2000, actually, they've needed to be registered with the Care Quality Commission. And that is going to change for some people. So it's actually not expressly clear as to who will and who won't be required to register. But at the moment, medical professions delivering laser and light treatments for the purpose of disease, injury or disorder will be deemed as medical treatments and will remain regulated. The problem is that the definition of disease, injury or disorder has not been totally clarified yet. And non-health professionals, including physiotherapists, will be deemed not to deliver medical treatments of any kind and will not be registrable, regardless of what treatments they actually deliver. So it's a little bit confusing at the moment, and hopefully it'll become clearer as we go through the registration process.
Okay, so if you're using a laser or smart lipo or vaser, you've had to be registered and you'll have to change to the new system.
Everyone who's currently registered will have to re-register.
Okay.
It's only people who will be operating light-based treatments where they will not be treating a deemed-to-be medical condition, whether that's sort of disease, injury or disorder as the CQC define it.
So hair removal.
Hair removal, yes, but it may be, for instance, if somebody is referred to a clinic, maybe a medical clinic, where they have an underlying polycystic ovary syndrome, for instance, it's possible then that will be deemed to be treatment of a medical condition because hirsutism is a result of a PCOS. So there are unclear areas yet, but there are some people that feel the reason that the CQC are doing this and trying to make a split between medical conditions and cosmetic conditions is all to do with VAT. And that when this legislation comes in place and when clinics register, which they'll need to on the 1st of October, is that the Inland Revenue will also start looking at clinics providing these treatments and looking at clinics providing cosmetic treatments and deeming them to be VATable now.
Okay. I mean, just a very silly question. I mean, just to explain to people who may not know what the that organisation
is. Yeah,
that's right. So it's that's a government commission.
Yeah, I mean, basically it's an arm of the government. All NHS hospitals, private hospitals, and anyone providing cosmetic surgery treatments or fertility clinics, those kind of clinics need to be registered with the Care Quality Commission. And in fact, actually from 2011, all dentists, whether they're NHS or private, will need also to be registered. And from 2012, all GPs as well, general practitioners, will need to be registered. So basically anyone who has anything to do with medical treatments will need to be registered and governed by the Care Quality Commission.
Because it's interesting that dentists haven't until now, have they?
Well, no, dentists have only needed to be registered if they've been providing laser treatments, whether that's for hair removal, for instance, or even sort of laser teeth whitening as well.
So what does this mean? So someone setting up in practice, really probably starting Botox, fillers, you know, sclerotherapy, those sorts of treatments.
Sure.
They won't need to be registered at the moment. But
no, they won't. No, not at all.
Should they, if they're going into any premises with lasers, do they need to check?
Only if they, by the looks of this, are going to be treating disease, injury or disorder.
Yeah.
So in other words, say for instance, if they're going to be treating people maybe with active acne, with rosacea, those kinds of, you know, sort of skin disorders where you might be using a laser, obviously could be deemed as being a disease or a disorder and would require to be registered.
Okay.
Rather than it being seen as being used for cosmetic purposes. But again, I think there are gradations of that as well. So somebody comes in with one spot, one treatment, clearly probably doesn't have acne. Whereas somebody who has many, many lesions on their face and, you know, is developing scarring, obviously it will be seen more as a medical treatment. It's going to be, I think, difficult to see how this unrolls in go ahead. So there will be some people that think it might be a good idea to be registered and other people who will try not to be registered but may still be actually treating medical conditions.
Okay. Could you just clarify the VAT issue? Because medical treatments traditionally have not been VATable.
Absolutely.
But there's, you know, changes afoot, I believe.
There are, yeah. And I think it all revolves around what is seen to be a medical treatment and what is deemed to be a cosmetic treatment. And at the moment, it's been very unclear. And this was raised a few years ago, especially in the non-surgical arena with the advent of Botox, fillers, and increasingly lasers as well. But at the moment, it seems if you're operating from a Care Quality Commission registered premises, so in other words, you are regulated and governed by the CQC, you don't necessarily have to charge VAT on treatments because it's deemed that you are dealing
yes.
with medical conditions. Whereas, say, for instance, somebody who's operating a laser in a beauty salon for hair removal, would probably be charging VAT.
So this is,
you'll find at the moment there is this differentiation. You'll have somebody doing laser hair removal in a beauty salon who will be charging VAT, and somebody who's operating a laser in a Care Quality Commissioned medical aesthetic clinic for hair removal who isn't.
Right. So they've got you either way. If you say it's a cosmetic treatment, you don't need to be regulated, but you have to sort the VAT out.
Yes.
And if you go the other route and it's medical treatment, you have all the commission hassle to go through,
but that you still may need to charge VAT on cosmetic treatments, even if now you are operating from a CQC registered premises. This is the difference.
Okay.
From October the 1st, so it looks as though the VAT man cometh to to the cosmetic industry.
So if you were sort of starting in the business now, you know,
yeah.
or, you know, got a small practice, what would your advice be about that?
Well, I think at the moment it depends on what you're doing. Obviously, if you're using Botox and fillers, I would say that to wait until October the 1st, because I think things will become clearer in terms of guidance from the Inland Revenue. Because at the moment, if you look at the current legislation, it is very grey, and people believe that is going to become clearer. I'm sure that there will be groups within the industry that will maybe lobby the Inland Revenue as well to put forward their case. And I know certainly the British Association of Cosmetic Doctors have done this and have employed lawyers certainly a few years ago to kind of put their case forward. So, you know, nobody wants to charge VAT unless they have to. But it looks as though it may be unavoidable at some point in the future.
Yeah. Can you
so at the moment, I would say, if you're just starting off, obviously, don't get back registered straight away because you don't need to be in until you hit 75,000 turnover a year. So you've probably got a year's grace anyway, but obviously just follow the news and advice from your accountant.
Okay, so just to clarify the VAT issue, I mean, if you over the £75,000 threshold, you need to charge VAT, so you need to charge an extra amount to your patients.
You need to be VAT registered, any business does, once they hit that turnover, unless there are exemptions. So unless the service you provide is VAT exempt.
Sort of children's clothes and health and
absolutely.
Food. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so how does that work? So if you're VAT registered, you basically need to, you basically
collect... Once you're VAT registered, you can, I mean, there are obviously advantages and disadvantages. Once you're VAT registered, you can claim VAT back on all of the goods that you buy.
Yeah.
So that's called input VAT. But then the money you collect on the sale of the services, so if you're going to be, you know, say, selling Botox for £200 an area currently, you're going to have to add 17.5% on that. But that 17.5% you have to collect and give back to the VAT.
Quarterly.
To the income revenue. Quarterly, absolutely. So what you do, your accountant or yourself, would look at all the VAT you can claim back for the product, goods, services that you buy to run your business. And you take that away from the VAT that you charge to your clients.
Okay.
Or patients.
Now, I have heard that some people try to protect themselves with getting the patients, you know, clients to sign forms. Any advice on that, Ron?
Well, I mean, I think there are some people have suggested that one sort of way around this could be to look at psychological issues related to people seeking cosmetic treatments, and whether that could be a medical reason why you wouldn't charge VAT. So in other words, somebody was looking for facial rejuvenation with botulinum toxin or dermal fillers as a result of some depression, for instance.
Yes.
But I think you want a sticky wicket if you start to make those kinds of diagnoses for every client coming through your door.
Okay.
But some people have done that and have included that some of those elements in a consent process and documented it.
So it probably wouldn't do any harm to include that.
Well, I would think where it is relevant, because clearly you don't want to be making those kinds of judgments if it's not.
Okay. Just sort of following, we were talking earlier on, Ron, about, you just mentioned that you've been through the registration process just in the last couple of days with a clinic.
Yes.
Tell me how that was.
Right, this is for a separate set of regulations, which is the Independent Healthcare Advisory Services, and it's a register for injectable cosmetic providers. Because the Care Quality Commission doesn't currently regulate Botox or fillers and doesn't plan to either with their new guidelines, then Botox and fillers fall totally out of current regulation. So this is a self-regulation scheme that has been set up and is supported by the government, whereby people offering injectable treatments can apply to register to the IHAS. They have to adhere to and show evidence that they achieve a set of minimum standards that are laid down by the IHAS in order to get a quality mark that they can then use in their advertising, put on their website, and also they get a certificate as well, and be included in the IHAS website of registered providers. So it's an entirely different kettle of fish. It's not mandatory. You don't have to apply. And, you know, it's down to an individual clinic. It's going to cost money.
How much, Ron?
Well, at the moment, there are two scales, which I think are unfair, and we challenge the IHAS with this as well. But say, for instance, if you are a practitioner, you don't have your own physical premises, but you go to individual salons, which is still probably, I think, about 40% of the injectable treatments are done via that business model, then it's going to cost £500 to register up to 10 separate clinics, beauty salons. If you're, say, a medical aesthetic clinic, and if you're currently registered with the Care Quality Commission as well, so you already adhere to a lot of regulations that are laid down by the CQC, you have to pay £1,000.
Right.
And it's £500 if you're if you're operating out of 10 salons, which doesn't seem fair to me, but...
So you mentioned that you apply online. I mean, how much time would it take to go through the process?
Well, at the moment, I spent probably about a good 5 hours, and I'm halfway there.
So, and you're someone who knows what, you know, has got experience of these things.
Yeah, well, this is it. And in fact, actually, because the clinic that we're registering is Care Quality Commission Register, we already have the documents there. You have to upload a lot of the documents, policies, procedures, protocols, evidence that link into the standards that they're asking you to say that you comply with. And if you don't have that documentation in place, it's going to take even longer.
Okay. So were they 5 happy hours, Ron?
Not really.
No.
I'm not a big fan of paperwork, and this does go down to the nth degree, really. And of course, I don't know yet, because I haven't gone through the whole process, whether or not the clinic will get registered. And you have to pay in advance as well. So you pay £1,000 in advance. And at the moment, we're not sure whether you get that money back if you don't achieve the standards. I don't think you do.
And what are the benefits to a clinic to be registered?
Well, at the moment, I think it's not particularly clear. It will only be... I think beneficial if consumers really actively search for clinics with this logo, this quality mark. If it's not visible and consumers don't understand that they should be searching for those, you know, businesses with that quality mark, then I don't think it's necessarily going to be of any great benefit for a particular clinic to put that money up front.
So it's all about the sort of PR and the marketing behind the mark.
So I mean, according to the IHAS, they've been given a bursary of around £200,000 to help promote this, which is just nothing.
I mean, we're going to talk about this in another podcast, subsequent podcast, but, you know, that sort of marketing budget, is that, you don't think it's
tiny, if you think about, you know, mass market and trying to get a message out to the market. If you think about the Healthcare Commission as well, how many consumers really understood that and understood that they should be searching for clinics who were registered with the Healthcare Commission, who were providing laser treatments. You know, the average consumer still probably wouldn't have much of a clue.
No.
And of course, then they changed their name to the Care Quality Commission, so...
Make it even more confusing, yeah.
It is. I think it's incredibly confusing for consumers. It's confusing enough for people operating a business within the industry, but for a consumer, I think it is very confusing. And I think because of that, it's going to be difficult to get a very clear message across as to, you know, what they should be searching for the different types of treatments and procedures that they're wanting to buy, you know, whether it's cosmetic surgery where it should be CQC registered or Botox and fillers where there isn't any requirement, but maybe somebody who's, you know, hit the minimum standards deemed by the self-regulation scheme would be a better person to go to than someone who hasn't.
Brilliant. How much is the, you know, this sort of thing that's happened from the 1st of October, how much is that going to cost patients, you know, clinics to be registered?
For the CQC?
Yeah.
About £1,500 a year.
So, I mean, and that's a one-off payment per year?
No, it's annually.
So annually £1,500.
Yeah.
And roughly how long would that take to do? Any idea?
Again, with that it's slightly different because you can have a physical inspection from an inspector.
Any time, they can just sort of come and do random tests, can't they? Yeah,
absolutely. And so if somebody comes in, it depends. It depends on the inspector and it depends on how well prepared you are, and not only the policies and procedures that you say you have in place, but whether you can evidence that you're actually using them. I've been involved in an inspection as well, and they sometimes go down to, you know, the nth degree where they'll ask for instance, the references of an employee that you've had and see, you know, if you've only got one reference, then ask why you haven't got two, which to me doesn't really seem necessarily to relate to the key thing of whether or not that business is delivering safe and effective treatments.
Yeah, absolutely. I would.
And also, more importantly, none of this really looks at the skill of the individual practitioner who's delivering the treatment, whether it's a plastic or cosmetic surgeon or whether it's a beauty therapist who's operating a laser for hair removal.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I mean, the, you know, what's important is the quality of treatment.
Absolutely, and you know, the problem is with whether it's actual regulation with the CQC or whether it's self-regulation, none of it can really pin that down because there isn't any way of being able to standardise an outcome of a procedure and say you haven't hit that particular minimum level. And hence you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, brilliant, Ron. So now tell me a little bit about, we're going to, in the next podcast in the series, I'm going to be talking to you much more about sort of your experience of marketing and how clinics should market, you know, offline and online.
Sure.
But tell me a little bit about the consulting room, because I subscribe to the newsletter, and actually it's one of the best newsletters I get every month. I always read it. It's very, you know, it's really informative. So tell people, you know, how they subscribe to it.
Fine. Well, I mean, the consulting room, I guess, is a dual service. So it's a membership. It's £27 a month. That's including that. And we provide, I think, probably a unique range of benefits from new client referrals, because we'll make your business visible to consumers by building a mini website for you within our referral within our directory. And also you gain access to a password protected members area, and we've got all sorts of information in there that can help anyone running an aesthetic business. And as you say, we also send out a monthly magazine as well. It's an online magazine that can also be printed out as well. And that provides unique features, articles, information, comment, and some money saving discounts from suppliers as well. We also offer 100% guarantee after the first year of membership as well. So if somebody isn't happy with any aspect of our service, we'll refund their full year's membership. And I can't think of many businesses that will offer that guarantee.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, that's something I would certainly advocate. And just by going to the Consulting Room's website, they'll be able to...
Yes, consultingroom.com. You can register from there. And it's a very easy process. Just put in your name and address and we'll deal with it from there.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for joining us today, Ron. Thank you for, you know, clarifying some of these... complicated issues with registration.
Well, this is it. I mean, it is something that we will be following on our blog and our site as well. So, you know, and also if anyone has any questions, by all means, come through to us at the consulting room, and, you know, we may be able to help clarify it more as it goes forward, because at the moment it is still complicated, even for people who really looked at it in detail. So, but all of these are very important things, I think, when you're setting up your business, to know and understand at that point.
Brilliant, Ron. Well, thank you very much for everything today.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for listening to the interview. I hope you found it useful and informative. As I've mentioned, you can listen and subscribe to these podcasts so that you get them automatically via the Cosmetic Course website by pressing the subscribe button. Alternatively, you can listen to them via iTunes. And if you press subscribe in iTunes, again, you'll get the podcast delivered to you automatically. Would really appreciate it if you'd give us any feedback and leave any comments in iTunes, which helps us rise up the rankings. So thanks again for listening. This is Adrian Richards, and we hope that you'll be able to listen next time.